time to run.
Welcome to the Extra Mile Podcast, Jeff Galloway edition. You have happened across the only podcast completely dedicated to learning and mastering the Jeff Galloway Run Walk Run training method right from Jeff himself. Jeff's Run Walk Run training method has been developed and evolved over many years using feedback from nearly 500,000 of your fellow runners. This podcast will run walk run you gently through Jeff's training methods to get you to the finish line of your next event or simply help you run to your 100. So lace up those running shoes and let's get moving.
Well, hello, and welcome to the Extra Mile Podcast, Jeff Galloway edition, episode 6.2. How is everyone? This is Kevin, and I'm out for a tiny little walk on just a super day. You know what? It seems like everyone's mojo, lots more speed and distance. All of those usually increase in the spring along with the temperatures, and that's pretty much what's happening to me right now. I am putting in a lot more miles. Those miles are, relatively speaking, faster miles. My weight is way, way down. We'll talk about that at another point if you choose to, probably on the other podcast. And generally speaking, I am feeling great. While I'm talking about my training, here's something I started doing in my log that I don't think I was a snob, but I just never did. I've been keeping track. Don't laugh at me. I've been keeping track of my miles, my running miles, since I started running back in 1984. So I have this Excel spreadsheet, and it has every single day I ran, and it totals it up, and it averages them for the month and blah blah blah, all that anal stuff that you're laughing about. But one thing I just started doing this year, and it was because of my hip replacement surgery about a year ago in 2 days, and I started doing a lot more walking, and I decided, why wouldn't I keep track of my walking as well as my running? And I'm not even separating it, although you can look on my log and see which was a walk and which was a run. But why wouldn't I just keep track of the miles I moved, right? Who cares if I walked 3 miles or ran 3 miles? If I'm going to keep track of movement, and as Jeff says, keep moving, why wouldn't I? So at the beginning of this year, my log looks a little bit funny because the mileage increases quite a bit because there are days that I walk and I run. Many days when I go out for, say, a 3 mile run, which is, you know, a tad on the shorter side for me, I'll warm up for a mile and then run my 3, and then I will have a mile cool down. So I get 5 total miles in, but it looks like I really increased my mileage. Anyway, just a little side note. I think running and I think walking both rock. And I think if you're going to keep track of that stuff, you should include both of them together and just keep track of how much movement you do. Back to my training. I feel like that I'm actually, and I am getting faster. My pace is a little bit faster right now than it was when my hips started hurting about a year and a half ago. So whatever speed I did have is back. And I also feel like consciously I'm holding the speed back. I'm still in the back of my head, not completely convinced that running 100% and pushing it, doing speed work and that kind of stuff, doesn't have some sort of an adverse effect on this hip. Although I'm in zero pain and I feel great aerobically, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, God forbid I should have to give anything up that I've already got. So I'm holding that back a little bit, but there may be a point when I reach out to Coach Twiggs and say, you know what, give me a little bit of a push here and tell me some of the stuff I can do to increase my speed by a little bit, if you don't mind. So, more on that later. So listen, judging from the submissions I get on that sister podcast, the Extra Mile podcast, I'm not alone in improving as spring comes. The beautiful weather really brings beautiful running and walking, doesn't it? So episode 6.2. In this podcast, we will, as usual, catch up with Jeff Galloway. We will be particularly interested in the results of Jeff's trip to Raleigh for the Tobacco Road Marathon back on March the 17th. His performance and this discussion at Tobacco Road will lead us into a very important discussion on what we can learn from bad days and how best to recover from them. We've also got some very timely questions from some extra milers. And Coach Twiggs talks about one of the most important reasons to run for overall health, as well as answers one of my selfish training questions. It's all good stuff, so stick around and we'll chat at the end. Y'all enjoy your extra mile.
Early walk breaks erase fatigue, so let's start this episode with a gentle walk break.
And over to the walk part of the show, the part of the show where we catch up with Coach Jeff Galloway. Hello, Jeff. How are you today?
Well, Kevin, I maybe could be better, but I don't know. It's a beautiful spring day here in Atlanta. Got in a good run. Life is good, even though Barb has me doing some yard work.
Oh, even Jeff Galloway has the honey-do list?
You're darn right. I mean, after all, it is our anniversary, so I'm going to specially do what Barb tells me. Generally, I do that anyway.
Yeah, right. But you don't want to mess it up on today of all days. Congratulations to both of you. You want to give you want to give us a number? What number is this?
43.
Whoa. Congratulations.
Oh, it's wonderful.
So listen, we normally, the normal part of the show, we catch up with where you've been and also where you're going to be in the next few weeks for listeners to catch up with you. And we're still going to do that. But the first place that I was going to ask you about is the Tobacco Road Marathon back on May the 17th in Raleigh. I'd like to save that one, if you don't mind. We'll skip that one and we'll come back to that one a little bit later in the show because there's some more stuff we want to talk about relative to that race. So if that's okay with you, we'll just jump right over that one.
Good.
The next on the calendar was Star Wars Rival Run, and that one always looks so much fun. Tell me a little bit about that one. Do you think that might be is that the most popular Run Disney event, or other than the marathon?
Well, you know, each one of the Run Disney events has their own population, their own audience, and that the Star Wars events used to be one out in Anaheim at Disneyland, and the one that is called the Dark Side in Disney World, have a lot of folks who either are really fans of the whole Star Wars series and Star Wars culture, because it is a culture, or they love dressing up in some of the costumes. And And that's what really makes these Disney races come alive, because not only do you have characters along the way, and it's amazing to see the people that run up and wait in line for a good long time, and then they will join the whole course. But what you do is you see nonstop all around you people dressed up and various outfits. And it really adds so much. You can talk to people about their outfit, how they put that together. And there are all types of neat stories that come out of that.
I've said this before, and I've only run one Run Disney race in my life, but if I were going to run one, I wouldn't do it for a PR. Find your PR somewhere else and just do this and have a blast, huh?
Well, people do have a blast there, and the next one is going to be Wine and Dine, and you know, that speaks for itself. It's during the Food and Wine Festival at Epcot, and it's just another fabulous weekend.
Blue Ridge Mountain was very recently. Tell me a little bit about the Blue Ridge, the Rona, Virginia deal. How was that, Rich?
It's a very interesting event, and they actually advertised this as the toughest road course in the United States, and I believe it is. I think there's something like 7,500 feet of elevation change upward when you accumulate it throughout the course. Mm-hmm. And my summary for this course is it's the toughest course that you will learn to love. and I have to tell you that because I toured the course. It's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. And the vistas up there, because it goes through this giant park, but it does have a lot of uphill, and it also has a lot of downhill. So one of the things that I told people who were training for this event was that they need to practice both the uphill and the downhill. And, of course, best intentions. I talked to several hundred people during the weekend who wanted to put in a lot of hill work and everything, but just didn't do much of it. So I told them to just walk most of the uphills because they have a generous time limit. And sure enough, I had just hundreds of people afterwards telling me by email or in person that that was the best advice. They end up enjoying it. They didn't have that many aches and pains. You know, whenever you have that much elevation change, there will be a few of them. But those aches and pains do not have to go into injury if you have the right form in going up and going down.
Very good. We're going to come back. Like I said, we're going to come back to that, to the Tobacco Road. So let's skip ahead and talk about where folks can find you coming up. The first thing I see on your calendar is a running school right there in that crazy running town of Atlanta on April the 28th. Where are you going to do that one? Where is that held?
Yes, that is going to be a different type of running school, and usually on the running schools, I do not do individualized running form evaluations. Those are done at our retreats at Carmel and at Blue Mountain Beach in Tahoe. But this time, I'm going to break that tradition, and anybody who would like to have a running form evaluation, I will do that. So I'm going to do that either before the school or afterwards. So you can show up half an hour early. The time frame, it's at our Sandy Springs Fidipides store, and you can show up at 11:30 a.m. because the school starts at 12 noon and goes until 3 o'clock. And I'm going to go over everything. Most people who have made comments on this just absolutely love the tempo of it, how it's invigorating, and they get all types of good information. And the other benefit is that I will give you my direct email address for follow-up afterwards. Sort of, the running schools are sort of like a tutorial with a lingering coaching relationship through the email.
Interesting. Tell me a little bit about the running evaluation. I've not seen you do one. What, obviously, you go out and watch them run. What kind of feedback do you typically give to runners?
I'm looking for three things which I have found to be the most efficient components of running form. One is how much bouncer is off the ground. The second one is having a light touch of the foot. The third is the stride length. But then I also look at posture, because upright body posture has been shown to be the most efficient way to run, and it also produces fewer aches and pains, particularly in the back or the neck.
So you can come away expecting some advice on how to adjust your run. Is that what I'm getting?
That's true. And I also will explain then how the drills, the cadence drill and the acceleration glider drill, are extremely beneficial and productive in molding you into being a more efficient runner and doing these things that I will talk about and have them come naturally.
Very good. I see that you've got a couple other schools coming up. I wanted to throw in here real quick too. You've got one at Ogden, which is a marathon you've got coming up on May the 18th. Is Ogden? I've not seen this one on your list before. Is that the first time you've gone to Utah?
It's the first time in a while, because Barb and I have gone there 3 or 4 times before, and we actually have loved that area, and we have loved that event. The people are just really friendly. The area is beautiful. The course starts up in Ogden Valley, which is beautiful, snow-capped this time of year. And then it goes downhill for the first 5 miles or so, a few rollers in the valley. But then at the end of the valley, you take what I describe as a toboggan chute down into the town of Ogden. It's a really nice downhill that goes on for mile after mile. And you wind up in a park along a really beautiful creek, and then finish up with just really a little bit on the streets of Ogden, finishing down in a park in downtown Ogden. They really have done a good job with the events, the refreshments, and I'm very honored to be inducted in their Hall of Fame during the festivities that week. So it's going to be a big week and a fun place.
More congratulations. That the race is on May the 18th. Your running school is from 4 to 7 the day before on Friday, May the 17th, if you're interested. One thing I noticed about that marathon, Jeff, and it kind of reminded me when you said something about the Blue Ridge Mountain. That one has a very generous 7-hour time limit. A lot of the races are going that way, don't you think? I seem to think that's refreshing.
Well, it is a trend, and there's a reverse trend going on too. For cost reasons, unfortunately, there are a lot of races that have rather severely cut the finishing time. So it just behooves everybody, when they are looking for a race to sign up for, to look at the latest information, not what it was last year, but the latest info on course closing time. But there is a trend to lengthen the course time that it's open, because more and more people are enjoying marathons and not trying to run as fast as they possibly can. They're enjoying the accomplishment, and as a result of that, they are out there for longer. The other demographic is that there is a bump up in the number of people over the age of 45 that are getting into marathoning. A lot of these folks were into half marathons 5-4 years ago and so forth, and they're now moving into the marathon, and it's really a neat thing to see. But these folks are often folks that have never really done much running or much athletics at all, and they're moving into the marathon, so they're doing it with Run Walk Run and enjoying the experience. So you are seeing a drift in the closing times.
And I'll just throw in an editorial comment. There's no way that that's a coincidence that Run, Walk, Run is so popular and more people are getting into these races like that, something they never thought they'd be able to do again. So good on Jeff Galloway.
Well, thank you. And I do I celebrate that fact. I love being associated with that.
So before we get off the topic of where you're going to be, I don't want to forget you've got a couple of retreats coming up. One out at Carmel by the Sea. That one is May the 9th through the 12th. That one I noticed that you've got a theme to that one, and it's one of my favorite topics of all time. Running until you're 100 and all the benefits without aches and pains.
Yes.
And then Blue Mountain, back down to Florida, June the 7th through the 9th. You still have the deal going on with the BFF?
The BFF deal is at Carmel.
Okay.
And we definitely have that. Couples that each enter the Carmel retreat, that couple will receive a BFF. And we also have an option, if you're interested, in a very good discount on a pair of shoes at Fidipides. So ask us about that if you are interested, and we can give you the details on that.
Yeah, and just FYI, if you're interested in Jeff's running schools, when you sign up online, and I will put a link in the show notes to where you can do that, it will ask you, would you like to order a pair of shoes and save, and give you all those details exactly how much you can save. It's a good deal. It's a good deal, especially if you're in the market for a new pair of shoes anyway.
It is a good deal.
Lastly, I want to talk about, while we're on the topic of what you're up to these days, is some free live interactive clinics that you've got going on that I believe start tonight. But unfortunately, these are not open to 100% of our listeners, but a very select few folks. Can you tell us a little bit about what you're doing with the free online seminars?
Well, I will be in my Fidipides stores for an in-person clinic, and this is going to be put up live on the web.
On YouTube,
and, yeah. My son Brennan is our techie in the family, and he'll be doing that. And people have really loved this. We've done this several times before, and we've actually gotten in some of these cases questions that are done live and will feed into the clinic when we're there. And those have generated questions among the people that were there for the actual clinic. I don't know how Brennan has really arranged the question part of it, but I'm going to promise that it's going to be a lively session, and it's going to be about running injury free and how to avoid the downtime.
And when I said it wasn't open to everybody, I didn't mean that you guys could not listen. It's actually, if you're not in Atlanta and can't get over to Fidipides, it is open to all Jeff's e-coaching clients, also all of the customized training program clients that Chris Twiggs does. And it's also open to all challenge participants as well, the 2019 and 2019 challenge participants. That's a lot of folks.
It is, and we are very pleased to offer that as a premium for those who are involved in our programs. You folks are supporting us. We want to support you.
Good. So if you're not already in there and you want to become a customized training or an e-coach or join the challenge, it's still time. Jeff's going to be doing, looks like there's 5 different sessions, and each session will happen twice. So if you miss one night, you can jump on the next night, or you can jump on both if you so choose. But think about signing up for some customized training from Jeff Galloway.
Yes, and the customized training is my program, very well coached by Coach Chris Twiggs, our national training director. And a lot of folks don't understand how it works. It is a 6-month program. It's very, very reasonable. It's less than $1 a day. And there's interactive quality through chat rooms. So take a look at it. If you're trying to really put things together, be accountable in a training, this is really a great way to go.
Yeah, Jeff, we talk a lot about the customized training program here on the show, especially with Chris. Chris is kind enough to join every episode as well. So I think we keep him pretty busy, but I understand he got 4 or 5 hours of sleep last night. So there's still some time for some more clients.
Absolutely. After that gentle walk break, and knowing just the right ratio and pace, it's time to run.
Good, Jeff. Thanks. Let's head over to the run interval part of the show, the part of the show where we focus on the Jeff Galloway run, walk, run elements. And Jeff, I'd like for you to get into the Wayback Machine with me, Jeff, and go back to October the 10th of 2010 when I made my attempt to run the Chicago Marathon. Chicago is my first and only DNF during that race after months of e-coaching with you and also podcasting pretty much every detail about your training advice. And I have absolutely no intention of reliving that day, but I will forever remember your advice after that day. It was something along the lines that all runners have bad days, and the most important thing to move forward, the most important thing to remember is to move forward from that run and learn from your mistakes and figure out just what you need to do to bounce back. So with that in mind, I would like to discuss your Tobacco Road Marathon that you did back March the 17th, just a little over, well, a month ago from when we were speaking back in Raleigh, North Carolina. Can you tell us a little bit about Tobacco Road?
Yes, just a little background. At the Princess Half Marathon, the day before that Princess Half Marathon, I went on an elliptical machine down in the hotel exercise room, and it was not set up the way I had ever used one of these machines before, but I was feeling super. I was just feeling great. And right after the workout started, I felt so good that I dialed up the resistance, which was a big mistake, a rookie mistake. And the other thing that happened, even though I started to get tired, I knew I wasn't going to run a super hard race the next day. So I went on for another 15 minutes at this higher resistance. During the last 5 minutes of that workout, I knew that I was having some aches and pains, but they didn't seem like they would evolve into an injury or anything. So I went for the full 45 minutes that I had extended on. And when I got off that elliptical machine, I could not support my body weight. My glute tied up on me, and it was really concerning. I walked around for 5 minutes and got my walking rhythm going again. And later in the day, I did a little running, and it seemed to be okay, even though it was very sore and it was very tight. So fast forward, I ran the Princess Half Marathon, but unfortunately, the second half of that half marathon, I was feeling the glute, and it got worse and worse. And by the end, it just had really tied up on me. I was looking forward to doing the Tobacco Road Marathon, which was only a few weeks later. So I backed off my running, was able to run and walk. It didn't work very well at first, but by the week before the Tobacco Road, I found that I was feeling on short runs pretty normal. So I decided to give it a try. And I really wanted to run it because it's a beautiful course. If you aren't in North Carolina, it's a rail trail, but it's not paved. It's a very nicely packed dirt trail that's level and very wide, and it goes through the woods. It's just absolutely a beautiful course. So anyway, I got out on this, and I felt very good for about the first 4 to 5 miles, and then the glute just increasingly tightened up so that by the halfway point, I couldn't run my run segments anymore, and I was only using 15:15. So I walked on into the finish line, which was another 4 miles, and I didn't do one of the out and backs there. So I got to the finish line. I had taken my number off, so I wasn't part of the race anymore. and I wanted to wait for Barb. I knew it would be another 50, 60 minutes or so before she got in. So who did I see near the finish but some of my Raleigh-Galloway training program people, and they were having fun. I tell you, I always love visiting with these folks, but I had never had a chance to really spend an extended period. It ended up being about an hour and 20 minutes with them. We talked, we told stories, we got to know one another's life histories. And let me tell you, this is the joy of running, the ability to really connect with people in a very positive way. And so the second thing that came out of that is learning from mistakes. And as I went through what had shut me down with my friends there, I brought out a lot of things that I had not articulated or at least hadn't admitted to myself, rookie mistakes that I made. And this has really helped in my recovery from this. And I have to tell you that in almost every case, when I have helped people come back from an injury, the body has healed. There may be different time periods of healing. There may be different treatments. But our bodies are designed to heal if we let them. So having the right balance of rest at first to get that healing started and then to be able to move very gently, staying below the threshold of the further irritation is really the key. And in most cases, my runners have been able to continue running while they let the body heal.
So, Jeff, before we get off of that topic, I'm going to go out of order here because normally we read some questions from listeners at the Magic Mile part of the show, but I got an interesting email just yesterday from Gina, longtime listener of the show and a big fan of yours. She says, "Hi, Jeff. I'm currently recovering from an injury and find it hard to identify as a runner. It's like I've lost my mojo. Each week, I've been able to add back in a little bit more running, but I'm still mostly walking. How can I keep my spirits up while I'm healing?" I have to believe, Jeff, that I think, at least after your experience, it may have given you some sort of a bad attitude or bad thoughts or something. How do we turn all that stuff, like Gina's asking, how does she get that positive direction back to her attitude?
Well, Gina, I have gone through this very recently, as I just mentioned, and I salute your efforts in making this comeback. When there has been an injury, there's another issue here, and that is you can't just launch yourself into running because you can make the injury worse, and then you may have to stay off of it for a much, much longer period of time. So it's good if it hasn't been healing for over a week or two to get a good diagnosis and then get a treatment plan going so that you can start back in a very gentle way. Now, in a lot of cases, when I've been working with runners who are making that journey back while they still have some injury, in a lot of those cases, they have been able to resume running in very short segments. So if you can reestablish that joy of running from very short segments, you're going to start getting back those adaptations. You're also going to turn on those brain circuits that we absolutely love after every run. And even if you're only going for 5 seconds, you can get a lot of those brain circuits turned on. So the other major issue in coming back is have a good warm-up. Have a 3 to 5 minute very gentle walk with a short stride. Let the legs and feet and so forth warm up. And then find an amount of running, if possible, that you could do in a very short amount, followed by a lot more walking. A lot of folks will start out with 5 seconds of a little shuffle and then 30 seconds of walking. And one of the benefits of the shuffle is that it uses the ankle. So if you've got an injury in a joint or a muscle or some other major component, tendon, IT band, things like that, the shuffle will often do the running for you so that you don't have to activate those weak link areas. Now, you're going to have negative messages because you want to get back into running, but you're often filled with this overwhelming unknown of when will I be able to get back into running the way that I want to. The answer there is to do what you can do. And if you activate positive thoughts, positive mantras, and then have a plan that could involve alternative exercise. I have an elliptical bicycle, which is, even though it's an elliptical motion, it's not even close to the same motion that machine forced my glute into and got me injured. The elliptical, I put on a trainer cycle, and it's a sliding motion, and it's enabled me to stay in shape and to get a lot of the brain benefits that I was getting from running. So that kept me from getting out of shape. And if you can find some type of a alternative exercise, such as running in the water or the right type of other equipment, you can stay in shape. Now, cognitively, take charge of where you are and learn from that experience. List those mistakes and the causes of what happened. And if you have a significant issue that is just unresolved, in other words, mistakes that you made or, you tried to keep up with a friend that was too fast or whatever, then you want to resolve those things so that you don't force yourself into that in the future. Always start your day with one positive aspect of running. And if you concentrate on the positive, you're going to turn on positive brain circuits that are going to release positive brain hormones. Come up with a plan to avoid this happening again while you have your downtime, and then believe in the plan.
Very good. And I'm going to mention one book, Jeff, that for some reason I think might go into a lot of detail about this, and it's Mental Training for Runners.
Yes.
Good.
Yes, that book has been a breakthrough book from people. Everywhere I go, there are between three and over a dozen people that say, I didn't realize that I had control over my motivation until I got that book.
Well, very good, and thanks for your very timely email, Gene. I appreciate it.
It's time to see how you are progressing in your training. So it's time for a magic mile.
All right, let's move on to the Magic Mile part of the show, where we turn it over to the lovable extra milers with some questions. And although we've already talked about Gina's question, we also got a couple of short ones here from Arlene. She writes, for a very long run or a race, a distance of over, say, 20 miles, do we still need to do a warm-up before we start running, or can we just incorporate the warm-up into that first few miles?
Well, that is a very good question, because a lot of people are confused about that. The bottom line is, whether it's a race or a workout, in the Galloway program, you can use the first mile of any of those runs as your warm-up. And so just ease into your race or long run and count that as part of the distance.
Perfect. Her second question is that wants to know is that in the days after a hard workout or a race, what's a good remedy for the muscle soreness, the DOMS?
The best treatment that I've found has been the BFF massage tool. Those have invigorated muscle fibers so that they just don't feel as tired when you get through with that treatment. 3 5-minute treatments after a workout, and you do them, and you can separate them by 10 minutes or more. I mean, they can be an hour between those 5-minute treatments. But they also bring blood flow in, and healing and avoidance of soreness the next day is all about that blood flow coming in. And that BFF massage tool, it's the best I know of.
Perfect. Jeff, I think that's all I have for you today. I appreciate you stopping by and opening up about that DNF especially. Those aren't easy to get, especially after all the running you've done. Those aren't easy to get over, are they?
They are not. And believe me, running is part of my being. It is at the core of who I am. And when I can't run on a given day, I don't feel as good. And when it looks like I'm going to be separated from the ability to run, then the feelings are even worse. So I understand totally what you folks are going through when you can't run. And I want to get you back out there on the road and help you any way I can. So keep listening to this wonderful podcast and send us questions. I am there to help you.
Very good. Thanks, Jeff. Good luck with your seminar tonight. We'll be looking forward to seeing how that's going. And appreciate you stopping by. We'll chat again soon.
Well, thank you, Kevin, and keep doing your wonderful good for runners.
Thanks, Jeff.
After a great endorphin rush, let's end this episode with a well-deserved cool down.
Okay, here we go over to the cool down portion of the show where we catch up with Chris Twiggs, the National Program Director of the Galloway Training Programs. Hey, Chris, how are you?
Kevin, better than I deserve. I am sitting here. This is the part of the show where I talk about how wonderful it is to live in Florida, right?
Yeah, right. I hate you at this part, and then I get to like you again as we go on. Go ahead. Might as well.
Oh, but it is, man. Oh, my gosh. It's, you know, it's 71 degrees. I'm actually sitting on my home in my home tiki bar here with a fan, ceiling fan blowing, and nice. Drinking my latte and just enjoying a cool breeze.
Life is good, huh?
Life is good. It really is. It's good to be alive. We should always remember that.
Absolutely. So listen, I have a few topics I want to touch on, if you don't mind this morning. But before we get started with some of my topics, I want to ask you about the whole how things are going with the customized training program and the training groups. Is there anything new on either of those fronts?
Yeah. Well, I'll say that customized training is going really, really well. We have streamlined our process a little bit because, as with most things, the biggest slowdowns and holdups are when human beings are involved. Mm-hmm. So the way we were doing things before, when somebody would register, the registration would come in, we would send that person a survey or questionnaire, and then that person would send it back and blah, blah, blah. So now what we're doing is as soon as somebody registers for customized, they're emailed a receipt, and that email contains the link to the online questionnaire that they fill out. And then as soon as they fill that out, I get the notification that it's there. And as a result, people are able to, from the time they register for customized, within 5 minutes, they can have all the information to me that I need to build their schedule. And in a lot of cases, I'm actually getting their schedules posted that same day.
Nice.
Which is really neat. And corresponding with that change, we've had a real uptick in the number of customized folks that we've taken in. It seems like just a few days ago that I was telling Jeff that I'd written 1,000 schedules, and already we're closing in on 50 more since then.
Nice.
So yeah, it's really going well. And that change is good. One thing for anybody that's listening that is already in customized, keep in mind that when you renew, you're going to get that same sort of email with a link to the alumni questionnaire to fill out. And I had a couple, our buddy Chris, I'll throw him under the bus. he renewed his customized, and then he hadn't he said, well, where do I get the survey? I haven't gotten the questionnaire. And I had to say, well, look at your receipt. I'm pretty sure that it's in the receipt. And it was. So that's kind of one of the new things, and things are going really well with Customize. As far as the training programs, this is a good time of year. We're getting a lot of kickoffs right now. I've been talking with the folks in Jacksonville, Florida. They've got their kickoff coming up in just a couple of weeks for their Getting Started program. We've got new programs, brand new programs starting soon in Aventura, Florida, which is down near Miami, and in Helena, Montana. Whoa. We've got a new program starting up there. So way down south and way up north, we've got programs. And we've got a new program coming. I don't know if last time we talked about Michelle having a program coming to a new program in Louisiana.
No,
but we've got a new program coming to Louisiana as well. So kind of all over, we've got new programs, which is nice. It's nice to see that people in new areas of the country are going to be exposed to the Galloway method and will have Galloway programs that they can train with. It's always neat to see new programs get started.
Yeah, knock on wood. I've got on my calendar for you and I are recording on a Thursday morning, and I've got on my calendar for Saturday, just in a couple of days, the group that I'm a member of, which is in the Dayton group that Dave does, is meeting kind of halfway between Dayton and Cincinnati, and meeting the Cincinnati group, and they're going to actually run the Jeff Galloway virtual and Barb's 5K virtual together, along with all the other folks who are not doing that but doing their other distances for whatever they're racing for. So I don't get up there enough, but so I'm hoping to be able to like sneak out the back door without anybody knowing I'm going
and
get up there and do it.
Great.
I'm looking forward to that.
That's really great. I'm excited to hear that those two programs are getting together. To do that run. That's terrific that they can do that. And to do a virtual it kind of adds some stakes to the run. I was talking about this with the Customized folks just day before yesterday, and about the fact that when you make a run, a long run, when you add a virtual to it, it gives you an incentive to finish when you may not otherwise. And we've got a guy who did the virtual. He had already done, I believe, the JG virtual, but it kind of gets addictive when you see the different medals and things like that are available. And he went on to Virtual Strides, and he found one that I think was an Alzheimer's charity that was a run for them. And he did that, and he had a really rough run. It was a hard run, but he said, well, it was a virtual, so I had to do it. I was committed to going 13.1 miles because, you know, that was the virtual. So it helped him get through the run and give a little bit more purpose to his run than he would have otherwise had.
Well, very good. And while we're on the topic, and it reminds me, somebody on our Facebook page asked this question the other day. But while we're on the topic of these programs. What's it take to start a program, specifically from a program director's standpoint? If I'm in a city where I'm nowhere close, I happen to be right in between two really good ones. But what if I'm nowhere close and I'd like to start one? What's involved?
Well, it's really very easy. We have first of all, people should go to jeffgalloway.com and click on the link for training programs, and there's a list of cities there. And you can look and see where we have training programs. And if you've got one, then you can click on the contact information there to contact the program director and find out where and when they meet. But if there's not one in your area, there's also a link there to click for information about starting a program. And put your email address in there and submit it. And we get notified that someone's interested in starting a program, and we get your information about where you are and that sort of thing. You give us that when you submit it. And Kelly Tenney, actually, who is our program director, one of our program directors in California, she is the first contact person. She'll read through the information and she'll contact you and get some more information from you. If there's a program that's in the works in your area that wasn't already listed, she can let you know about that. But if there's not, then she'll be the first point of contact to find out if you really do want to follow through with this and have a program if you've got the time and the right personality and everything. And then if it seems like a good match, then she refers that person to me and I talk to them on the phone a little bit. And then I send them some paperwork to fill out to make it official. And then once they've filled out the paperwork so that we know that that they're definitely going to do it, then I set them up with a certification exam and I send them some materials to help them pass that. And we want to make sure that these program directors know their stuff. And so they're tough questions that have to do with how we interpret the magic mile and how we use that to set people's paces and run walk ratios and how we organize people into groups and stuff like that. And it usually, to be honest, it takes people sometimes two or three tries to pass the test, but that's, I don't hold that against them. That just means that they're fine tuning their knowledge. And then once they've passed the certification test, we send a message to Jeff and let him know that, hey, we've got a new program director who's ready to go. And then between Kelly and Kelsey in our office and myself, we get the person all ready to go for a kickoff and start, advertising their group. So the whole process from the time they fill out that form until they've actually meeting with their members on a weekend morning, that whole process is, I've seen it go as fast as a week. And I've seen it take as long as 3 months. It just depends on how motivated the person is and what they're going to be training for, how much pressure there is there. It's neat and it's gratifying. And I can say from my experience starting three different Galloway programs, it was absolutely rewarding. It was really exciting. And it gave me some of my best friends. And that's really important to have those people to run with and help you through those long runs and supporting the run walk method that you're using. So I highly encourage anybody that doesn't have a program in your area to consider it or think of who would be good to do this in your area and talk to them about maybe doing it and let them know that you would support them and help them.
Nice. Very good. We're going to talk a little bit more about, you mentioned about the benefits of running with a group like that. We're going to talk a little bit more about that in a second. But before we get to that stuff, I want to catch up a little bit on where you've been. And I noticed from your Facebook stuff that you ran in the Star Wars half, and it looks like you had a blast. And I first want to ask, who in God's name is Wilro Hood? there are some geek listeners who know who that is, and so I guess I've got one on the line with me today.
Oh my gosh, yeah. So I have to say that as a pacer at these Disney races, I often run as a pacer. I don't dress up and I don't do any costumes or anything. And that's fine. And I love seeing the costumes and I love seeing the people doing stuff. But more and more of the pacers are trying to, want to get in on the costume stuff. And so I was looking for what could I do that would still allow me to run the pace that I have to run, because it's challenging sometimes to run. Even though the pace that I run as a pacer is significantly slower than I could run if I was racing, it's still not super easy,
Sure.
So Mark Burgett and I talked about what we could do. We're the 145 pacers for Star Wars. We talked about what we could do that would still be a runner, but have a Star Wars edge to it. And then it occurred to us that the one person in Star Wars lore who is known specifically as a runner is Wilro Hood. Wilro Hood is a character, a background character in The Empire Strikes Back. And there's a scene when Cloud City is being evacuated and there's a shot of Lando Calrissian. And in the background, you see people running and there's a guy wearing an orange jumpsuit running behind him, carrying an ice cream maker. And it's absolutely, you freeze frame on it, it's an ice cream maker. The guy is carrying an old school ice cream maker, but it doesn't, in context, it looks like he's carrying a piece of a robe of a droid or a piece of something, right? And in fact, what they've done is the Star Wars folks have kind of gone back and and rework the story so that what he's actually carrying is a memory core for something. And in fact, there's a scene in also in that movie that shows Luke Skywalker with a gray one of these. It looks like an ice cream maker painted gray. So anyway, we dressed up in orange and carried ice cream makers, although I made our ice cream makers out of some very lightweight components so that it would not weigh a ton. But it was still, our arms were still sore carrying this thing for 13 miles. and so we ran as Willrow. And anybody Googles Willrow Hood, you'll see all sorts. You'll see that dressing up and running as Willrow is pretty common, not in races so much, but at Star Wars conventions and things, lots of people dress up and run around as Willrow. It's a fun thing to do. But then my wife and boys all ran with our group as well. They did not dress as Willrow. They just had fun running. But it was neat to have three of my family members in my pace group the whole way. They stayed with me the whole way, and we all finished right around an hour and 45 minutes and had a blast. It was beautiful weather, beautiful day. And it was a fun memory to share with my kids and my wife.
Very good. I looked at some results and it looked like half the entries had the last name of Twig. So it looks like
yes.
Family deal. Let's put you on the spot since you threw our buddy Chris under the bus. Let's see if we can throw you under the bus. You were a 1:45 pacer.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Net time 1:44:57. 3 seconds.
Good enough.
I'm gonna give it to you.
I have to tell you the truth. Mark and I were both pretty ticked about those 3 seconds. We have had several Disney races that we have nailed to the second. Several of them where we've nailed to the second, and this one we just couldn't. It's so hard in the last mile. It's so hard to judge exactly where you're going to be, because any other mile split, if you're a couple seconds under, a couple seconds over, it's no big deal.
Sure.
But you got to hit it exactly at the finish line. And so, yeah, we missed it by 2 or 3 seconds there. But we were, most of our pacers were finishing right around that same range on theirs. All of our Galloway pacers are just terrific at hitting the times that they need to. So whether it's an hour and 45 or 3.5 hours in that half marathon, you know, they're coming pretty darn close.
Very good. So congratulations on that one. I'm glad you and the family had some good times down there.
Thanks.
Let's move on. I have another topic I want to talk to you about, more specific to the benefits of running. And mm-hmm. Running sometimes is such a physical thing. I was thinking about this the other day. It's such a physical thing. So when we start talking about the benefits of running, at least for me, most of them center around the physical part of running and what those benefits are. Obviously, you know, strengthening your heart, strengthening the bones and joints and that kind of thing. But sometimes I think that one of the aspects of benefits of running that's way overlooked is the mental health benefits of running. I did a Google search the other day, Chris, mm-hmm. And I just typed in running for mental health. It took 0.51 seconds, right? And that is way closer than you came in your pacing for the Star Wars. I just want to point that out. And Google came up with 249 million results. So I'm not the first one to think about this. Give us your take on mental health, running for mental health.
Oh my gosh, it is so, so important. And I don't mean to say that if somebody is not already a runner, that they have to start running for their mental health. I'm not implying that. Mm-hmm. But for those of us, I mean, anybody that's listening to this is already a runner. And I don't care. We don't need to get into debates about how fast you have to go to be considered a runner, or how much time you have to put between walk breaks to be a runner. For crying out loud, we're all runners. You know, even those people that are listening, they're primarily walking. If you run when you get to a stoplight and you want to get across the street faster, you're a runner in my book, right? Sure. If you're out there doing it for health, you know, you're on a long walk for health and you put in a few little jog breaks, you're a runner. So, but so for those of us that are already runners, the mental health aspects, the mental health benefits are massive. And if you don't believe me, then ask anyone who has had to stop running, has been forced to stop running for a period of time. And they'll testify to the gloomy attitude, to the short tempers, to the just sense of depression and futility that they feel when they're forced to take a break from running. And this is why it's important when we are injured, if we get injured, we have to find some alternate way to get some exercise and to maintain our mental health. But when you can run, you've got to do it. I was talking to somebody the other day who had a really rough season, had hard season, successful season, but very challenging. And so he was taking a couple of weeks off from running, and that was fine. But then I started asking him, okay, so what's next? How's your running going? Well, I'm not really going to start back running yet because I don't have anything on the calendar and I don't want to start training so soon. And I think it's important to distinguish between running and training. Even if you don't have a race on the schedule that you're training for, if you're a runner, you want to get that run in. It doesn't have to be long and it doesn't have to be every day, but you know, two or three or four times a week, getting out there and allowing your body to move, allowing those endorphins to kick in. I mean, it is a chemical thing that happens in your body that benefits your brain when you're running. And so your mood improves. You're able to think clearer. You're able to sleep better. You're able to be overall a healthier person in your mind and in your spirit, not just in your body, when you're running. So the benefits can't be overstated. They really can't.
I agree. I totally agree. They can't be overstated, but sometimes I think we don't appreciate them as much. So it's almost one of those things that just flies below the radar until, like you said, until you get injured and for some reason you can't go out the door, and then it just drives you crazy. Then you know.
Exactly. And that's when you notice it the most. So I definitely think that it's one of those things and that we need to be cognizant of. And where I get worried is when I see people that suffer from depression or have been feeling down, if they allow themselves to skip their runs, it doesn't help them get better sooner. You know, you've got to get out there. And so even when you don't feel like it, as long as you're physically okay, even when you don't feel like it, and it doesn't have to be long, it doesn't have to be far. A mile is plenty. If that's all you've got the time for, if you can just get out and do some run walk for a mile or for 10 minutes or 15 minutes, there is going to be a benefit to that. And I see it with people, that have had injuries. I also see it with people that have very stressful work lives. They're folks that I know that talked to a couple of people that work in finance, accounting, that have been going through a pretty rough tax season, and their runs have been limited or non-existent, and it contributes to depression. You got to get out, and even if it's for 10 or 15 minutes, you've got to get out and do it to help perk yourself up and make you feel like there's a reason for living. There's a reason for doing this stuff. So it is just amazing that it happens. That the physical thing, the physical act of running, can have such a huge benefit on our mental health. But it really, really can. I've just seen, even in my own family, I've seen very strong examples of people who have been down and depressed, and that can be a spiral that you don't want to get into. But when you insert that run, it breaks that spiral. It brings you back up. It lifts you back up. And so every couple of days, you gotta do it.
How many times in your life have something, it's usually something not necessarily great. Maybe it's something anywhere from devastating to just a kind of a pain in the rear end, but it happens. And the first thing you think about is, oh, I got to go for a run. I just got to get out of here and go for a run.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And then how many times when you're on a run and something's been bugging you, be careful about this. My wife was talking about this morning. You start running and you realize suddenly you're running a little bit faster than you intended to. You run a little bit harder than you intended to. You know, when you're working through issues, sometimes those runs can become pretty intense. I'll be honest, I had a lot of stress back in January at the Disney Marathon, and I ended up running that marathon a whole lot faster than I had expected I would. And that might have been some of that same benefit where I was just channeling my frustrations into my pace. But you're right there. It's good when you realize I've just got to go for a run. I just got to get out. And it really, really does help. And we talked about having that group to run with too. It is so good to have somebody you can run with. And sometimes when you're running with that friend or that group, you're also able to talk out some of those frustrations. You're able to talk out some of those issues, but you don't have to feel like, oh, well, I don't want to go on that run because I don't want to talk about that issue with other people. Sometimes you can run in silence and it's still just, there's a bonding that happens when you're running with other people. Some of the best conversations, some of the most heartfelt emotions that I've shared or that I've been witness to have happened on long runs with people. There's a bond that's created during that. And I'm sure Jeff has talked about this. I'm sure that there is a chemical and biological basis for this, that when you are, you're getting those endorphins and you're burning those calories and the changes that occur in your brain during that, the people that you're sharing that experience with, you feel closer to them.
What a blessing this running is. Don't you feel sorry for people who don't?
I do feel sorry for people that don't. There's a TV commercial and I don't even remember what it's for. It's gotta be for an insurance company because they've got the best TV commercials these days. But there's one, you may have seen it. It's these guys they're on motorcycles. And the storm comes up, and so they're stopped under a bridge. And the one guy is just sitting there frustrated, and the other guy is doing yoga and all sorts of stuff to try to keep things going. And the other fellow's just sitting there, and he's getting more and more frustrated, more and more down. And then as the storm stops and the sun clears, in the next scene, you see these two guys riding the motorcycles, and the wind is blowing them back, and big smiles on their faces. And it's kind of like that. That's kind of how I feel sometimes with running. You know, it's like everything is, it can feel bad and can feel gloomy, but then once you get out there and you're running and there's a breeze, and you get the sun on your face or whatever it is, it's the problems seem lighter. So it is a blessing. It is a blessing. And if you don't do it for your friends that don't do it, again, you don't have to be a runner to find that same sort of benefit necessarily. I'm sure that people that go out and are cycling a lot, I'm sure that they get it from that. People that swim a whole bunch, I'm sure they get it from that. I'm pretty certain that people that golf don't get that because my experience with golf has always been a lot more curse words and a lot more frustration.
The opposite, huh?
But yeah. For sure.
I'm right there with you. So listen, I got another topic. I want one more before I let you go. And it's a, it's a selfish topic because it's a training question that I'm interested in. But if I'm interested in it, hopefully somebody else is.
Hey, it's your show. So,
You're right. I just thought of that. Yeah, and I'm paying you for this, right?
You absolutely.
Well, I mean,
absolutely.
Whatever. Okay.
Eventually, someday, my rewards will be in heaven, I think.
Yes. So here's my training question, and also as a benefit, it might help with your algebra. So because you got to follow along.
Here, okay. All right.
I know. So, I want to get faster, right? And I don't mean I want to start. I don't mean I want to run faster. I mean when I go out for, let's use an example, a 5 mile run.
Yeah.
And let's say that that takes me exactly an hour. Okay. Mm-hmm. I want to go out for that same run, on that same course, and I want to run it a little bit faster. I want to run it in 57 minutes, right? So I want to get faster for that run. But here's a couple of caveats. Number one, I'm doing a ratio that includes a 30-second walk.
Uh-huh.
That has to stay the same.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
I don't want to go anywhere. That's a 30-second walk, period. The second thing I want to remain constant is during my run interval, whatever pace I'm running, if that's 10 minutes a mile, whatever it is, I want that to stay the same, right? So I'm running the same pace and I'm walking the same amount of time.
Yeah.
But I want to get faster. So in my tiny little brain, the only way to really do that, and what I think I'm talking about, is then increasing the run interval from, say, a minute to 90 seconds to 2 minutes or whatever. So, by definition, should help me get a little faster. Am I on the right track so far?
Yeah, I mean that's not typically the way we would get you faster. But you're right. That, I mean, math doesn't lie. If you're running the same pace and you're walking the same amount of time, then the only ways to get faster are to run longer or walk faster.
And the only reason I say this, Chris, is first of all, I like 30 seconds. As Jeff says, I think there really is a going a little bit further. You're hitting the law of diminishing returns and that kind of they're a little bit longer, that kind of thing. So 30 seconds. And then when I'm running, I just like the pace. I'm not trying to win any races. I just like this pace that I'm running at. So here's my question then. What's the best way to increase the run portion of my run?
Mm-hmm.
Other than just, I mean, are there exercises? Are there any anything you can think of that other than just, you know, reset my interval and go for it?
Well, I think one of the things that you can do is I would work on walking faster. Uh-huh. Because it's a small thing, but it will make a difference because you are taking so many. We all are. We take so many walk breaks that if we were walking, even, you know, if we were covering even 10 more feet during that 30 seconds of walking than we were before, then, you know, you're helping yourself in terms of your overall speed. So I would work on trying to walk faster, not to the point where your heart rate elevates, but I would work on that. And then the second thing that I would do is maybe try some of your acceleration glider drills. Try to extend your glide during that end portion of the drill. And if you're not already doing your acceleration glider drills, that's really where you need to focus. Because that is the drill that's going to help you feel smooth in your acceleration after your walk break. And it's where you're going to feel confident at the top end speed during the run. And you're going to be controlled as you decelerate down into your walk. And the better that drill goes, the more confident you are in those drills and the sooner but smoother you're able to get to your run pace, the better you're going to get a gain from that run segment. And you may even at first, if you work on that, and I would work on that before increasing the length of time that you're running, because you may find that just between those two things, walking a little bit faster, and so you're covering more ground during the walk break, and then getting more confident in your acceleration glider drills, you may find that gains you, in an hour run, that could gain you a minute You know, you could see a minute or 90 seconds improvement from that alone without increasing the amount of time that you're running between those walk breaks. And then once you've done that, I would give that drill, I'd give it maybe 3 weeks of really focusing on that drill, making sure you're doing that drill a couple times a week to make that happen. Then I would start bumping up the amount of time between the walk breaks. And I would do it gently. I would do it by 5 seconds. I wouldn't go straight. If you're doing 30-30 now, I would do 35-30. And then, you know, after a week, bump it up maybe to 40-30. And just see, because what you want to watch is to make sure that feels comfortable. I know that you're going to run the pace that you're going to run. But if you're going to run that same pace longer, there's at some point, we don't know where that number is, but there is a time frame where that is not going to be comfortable anymore, right? So it's probably not, if you were doing 30 seconds now, it's probably not 35, it's probably not 40, but it might be 60 seconds. It might be a minute and a half. And depending on how fast you're running during that segment, there's a point where that's too fast to maintain or that's too long to maintain that speed. So bumping it up in increments is the way to go. Otherwise, if you bump it up a whole bunch, then you have a crash and burn on a run, and you know, then we get back to mental health setbacks, right? So I would say it's a three-step process. Step one is work on walking speed to so you're walking a little bit faster during the walk breaks. Step two, focus on the acceleration glider drill, so that you can get up to your run speed faster and you can maintain that glide longer. And then step three then would be increasing the amount of time that you're running.
When I first asked you the question, the first thing you said was, well, this is not necessarily the way we would make you faster. Yeah. What is the, I mean.
I'd give you speed work. I'd give you speed work and have you doing, I'd have you doing 400s probably on the track and work on that. But what the goal of that would be so that your run speed when you're running is faster. And you stipulated at the beginning that you didn't want your run speed to be faster. You wanted your run speed to be the same. You just wanted to maintain that speed for longer. So you're talking about stamina rather than speed. Exactly. So when you're talking about stamina, that's where I want you to work on the acceleration glider, so you're comfortable getting up to the faster speed, and so that you can hold that glide longer. That's where the stamina comes in.
Perfect. That's all I got today.
That was good stuff. That was good stuff.
Yeah.
So now
you got anything coming up we care about?
Anything
you tell us and we'll be the judge of the
that's current. Good. I like that. Mm-hmm. I like that. Do you know, we talked about running races with family and we've got a local 5K. The first weekend in May is every little town has or should have a quirky festival. Don't you agree?
Yeah.
Don't you agree? Every little town should have a quirky festival. So my town, the quirky festival that we have is called the Shrimp Festival. Because where I live is the birthplace of the shrimping industry. And so we have a shrimp festival the first weekend in May, and there's a 5K that's part of that. And so my younger son won't be home yet because he still will have one more week of college before he comes home. But my older son and my wife and I will be running that 5K. And it's only about a mile and a half from our house. So we'll jog up there as our warm up, and then we'll run that 5K, and then we'll jog back, and then we'll eat tons and tons and tons of shrimp for the rest of the weekend. So that's fun.
Is this the 56th annual Isle of Eight Flags?
Yes, it is. Yes, as a matter of fact, it is. Oh. The Isle of Eight Flags. Where I live, Amelia Island, has the distinction of being the only landmass in the United States to have been under 8 different national flags, which means, by the way, when you think about it, which means we're basically pacifists. know?
Yeah, fine. Come take over.
Here's the flagpole. Exactly right. So that's the Shrimp Festival. It's a big deal. There's a Miss Shrimp Fest pageant that our daughter will be in, and it's loads and loads of fun. So we'll be doing that. So that's and honestly, I hate 5Ks. I run one or two 5Ks a year. They hurt. Oh my gosh, do they hurt? But so this is the one that I do every year, and I kind of have a number in my head that if I can run faster than that number, then I'm holding off old age for another year. Thank you. We'll see. It gets harder and harder every year. So that's the next race. And then, the reality is I'm in training mode for Hard Rock. I'll be running my 15th Hard Rock 100 endurance run in July. And so this week actually marks the beginning of bumping up my weekly mileage to prepare for Hard Rock. So it's a gradual, as we all know, we don't want to increase your weekly mileage too much. Rule of thumb typically is 10% per week. So, you can imagine if you're looking at a 100 miler, you take a while to build up to the type of distance. So that's the focus of my training right now.
Well, good luck with all that.
Thank you. What about you? You have a race you're going to do or anything? Have you thought about that?
No, I don't. I did a tiny little walk thing with my
heard about that
in March, but
yeah. That was really neat.
Other than hopefully, that was a lot of fun. In fact, I was just looking a couple days ago, and I was talking with my wife about trying to get the kiddos into another one here coming up. But they're into the soccer thing now, and it's just it just absorbs your life. Soccer does.
It does.
It's just crazy.
It does.
It should be illegal. And I think if I ever run for office, that's going to be the platform.
Hey, well, a conversation for another podcast, but watch the kids with the balls against the heads. There's a lot of lot of research now that heading in youth sports and youth soccer is probably a really bad idea.
The number one head injury in all of sports is female soccer.
Wow.
Concussion.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Period. I mean, we talk about football these days and should we let our kids play football and blah, blah, blah. But the reality is it's girls for some reason.
Yeah.
I have no clue why. Maybe there's a lot more girls that play soccer for all I know, but girls head injuries.
Well, I tell you, I think there are probably a lot of, reasons behind it, a lot of things. There's an Audible original book that I listened to that sheds some light on it, called The Beautiful Brain. And, it talks about, it doesn't start with female soccer, but it gets there. And, but it's about head injuries and, shed some light on it. So next, if you're looking for something new to listen to as you're out on your runs, think about The Beautiful Brain.
After the podcast, after you listen to the podcast.
Yes. Right? Yes. Absolutely.
Right. See, I'm all about saving you, Chris. I saved you again.
Thank you. I appreciate that because I'm relying on the income from this podcast.
Exactly. And you're a pacifist too. So whatever I say, you're going to go along.
Been revealed. I was accused of being a pirate. Online when I posted a picture of my tiki bar. So I'm not sure pacifist pirate. I'm not sure how that works, but that's probably accurate. So thank you, Kevin, for your time. I really appreciate these conversations. And
me too. I have fun. Yep. Thanks a lot for your time today. And we'll chat again very soon.
Okay, great. Take care.
All righty. See ya.
There you go. Episode 6.2 of the Extra Mile Podcast. Good stuff, huh? So tell me, have you ever had a DNF? DNFs don't always happen because you did something wrong. Sometimes they happen for reasons far beyond your control. But the important thing is you have to determine why it happened and if there is something that you can do to keep it from happening again. In my case, I'm totally convinced that I was in great shape to finish a marathon back on 10-10-10. I'm also totally convinced that I was not in good enough shape to run a sub 10-minute mile marathon in 84-degree weather. Mile 5 of that Chicago marathon was at an 8:41 pace. Mile 22, which, by the way, was my last full mile of that marathon, mile 22 was closer to 17 minutes a mile. So I took that result. I chatted with my running coach, Jeff Galloway, and I figured out what I had done wrong. And I ran again 6 weeks later with much different and better weather. And I ran that full marathon, the entire marathon, and I averaged 10:50 minutes per mile. And I felt great. So that DNF was on me. But so was the power to move on and find better results, right? So here's my advice, for what it's worth. Pick a plan that you trust and a plan that allows you to adjust for things that you can't control. My plan for that race had some pretty specific ways that I should have used to adjust for that temperature, and I chose not to. And I now have a DNF. So pick that plan and trust it and stick to the plan. But should anything hit the fan, and they sometimes do, figure out what it was, how it happened, why it happened, and make a plan to overcome it. I love the topics and the questions and the conversations in this episode. Thanks to Jeff Galloway, Chris Twiggs for their time once again. Thanks for the questions from our extra milers. Thanks for downloading the show and telling your friends about us. That's the only way we're going to grow this community. And why do you want to keep this all to yourself, huh? Tell a friend about this podcast and tell a friend about Jeff Galloway Run, Walk, Run. It is obviously skoosh weather, so tell a friend about skoosh sweatbands. And I understand that John has got some lime-colored skoosh bands right now for less than $6 a piece. Yikes. Get at least two of them, by the way. Head on over to the show notes for everything we spoke about today. And until the next time, y'all enjoy your extra mile.
Us for this edition of the Extra Mile Podcast, Jeff Galloway edition. Please visit our website at www.thegallowayextramile.com to see the show notes for this episode of the podcast. You can email us with your feedback about the show or send your audio questions for Jeff or Chris to podcast@jeffgalloway.com. Thanks for listening, and until next time, enjoy your extra mile.
Okay, cool. You want to get started?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, here we go. Oh, damn it. What part of the show is this?
This is the cool down.
Cool down.
Yeah, it's a cool down.
Cool. Okay, here we go. Oh, shit. I mean, shoot. Pardon. Close your ears on that one.